If you would please open with me your Bibles in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading verse 1 and 2 in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I have a couple of warnings before I even read the text. This message is primarily addressing the younger generation, but we should never say ever when the Word of God speaks to us that this is not for us. Because once you do that, you basically push away the blessing of God through the Word of God that's going to be spoken to you. A second thing is that from the Word of God is where we get the principles for life, for what we do every day. And that's why we need to be paying attention to the Word of God every time it is spoken and every time it is read. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to the faithful man who will be able to teach others also. Amen. Paul is addressing Timothy. And the way he starts this chapter is saying, you then, my child. Timothy is Paul's child in faith. And chapter 1 talks a little bit about the background of Timothy's upbringing and how his mother and his grandmother placed in him the seed that the Lord developed in him. And he spoke unto Timothy. And he got saved. He got to know Jesus. He got to know God. And the Apostle Paul is the one who ministered to Timothy and brought him to a maturity, to a level that he would get closer to the Lord and also understand his word and his calling. Because as soon as you get to understand who the Lord is for you and how he's willing to save you, as soon he's calling you into what he has for you as a Christian. And we should never say, I'm God's now, and that's it. Because God, for all of us, has something to do. There's nothing that would stop us from working for God, for serving him. And that's what this passage of Scripture is all about. And the message that Paul is presenting is nothing else but the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you just look back a few verses, verse 8 in chapter 1, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling. There's no reason to forget this. He has called us. Not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, apostle, and teacher. And this is the message that Paul is talking about in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. And there's three perspectives. There's three plans in this verse, in verse 2 of chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, that we see. And first one that's brought up is the past. And Paul says, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. This happened somewhere in the past. This is history. This is not what happened in the present, but it's something that happened in the past. And we all look back to our past when someone brought the Word of God to us, when someone mentored us, when someone taught us the way, when the Lord spoke through someone in our lives, whether it was a friend, maybe our parents for many of us, maybe a neighbor, a co-worker. The Lord spoke to us in some way, and we should never forget that. And what that brings to us is humility. Always acknowledge that God spoke to you through someone else. Always do that. And do it humbly. Because what happens is today, we tend to forget that the Lord spoke us through someone. And there are others in our lives to have influence upon us. There are others in our lives that guide us or are willing to guide us. There are people in our lives that are examples for us. And we should never neglect that. We should never forget how much we can learn from a man of God or a woman of God who's already experienced life with God. We as young people tend to think that our education makes us smarter than our parents. And maybe our education is better than our parents, right? Maybe we think that our bank accounts are bigger than our parents, and they may be, and our parents may never have their bank accounts the way we have it now. What we accomplish today, they may never accomplish in their lifetimes. But spiritual maturity is never mentioned in the size of your bank account or the hours of schooling you went through. And spiritual maturity is never measured in the type of the credit cards or the limits on them. Spiritual maturity is measured with how long you've walked with the Lord. Amen. And how much time you spend in His presence. And that is something we need to learn. There's no education in this world that can overpass or oversize the fact that the spiritual maturity. There's no way to be educated in spirituality. The way it works is you walk with the Lord. It's that simple. And may the Lord bless those who are influences in our lives. And always be humble to admit that there are people around us that can influence us spiritually and make us grow to a point where our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be. Paul says, right? Follow my examples, he says, according to the NIV translation. Follow my example as I follow the example of Jesus Christ. Right? He is the Apostle Paul who says, I am following an example. I have someone bigger than me. I am under some authority. There's something above me. So many times we have more leaders than followers. We all want to be leaders. There's so few people who want to be followers. Let's be followers today. A second thing that Paul speaks to Timothy in this verse about is the present. And he says, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust. This happens today, now, entrust. Entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, Timothy, when Paul speaks to him in this epistle, he's not this old gentleman in a rocking chair, ready to retire, thinking that it's time to pass on what I've learned. Timothy is this young man who was called by God to be a leader in a church. And Paul is mentoring Timothy. He's telling him, you have to find people who are trustworthy. And you should entrust the word. You should entrust what you received from me. You should entrust to others. You'd think probably that's a little early for Timothy to be called to give anything to anybody. He's just a young man. But Paul, understanding the situation, he says, you do that now. You entrust men. And serving for the Lord and being able to mentor is not a matter of age. You should never say, I'm too young to serve the Lord. I need to finish school. And by the way, congratulations. I heard many of you, some of you, have graduated this week. There's some that are going to graduate soon. But there's no reason to say, I need to be graduating first. There's no reason to say, I need to get married first. Some people say, I don't want to serve the Lord with all I have. You know, first I need to have my own family, and I'll do it then. There's no reason to wait. You are called to do this now. Have you heard this said over and over again? I've heard it many times, and nothing is more wrong than a truth spoken halfway, because it's no more true. I've heard this being spoken many times about young adults, about youth, about young families. They are the future of the church. Have you heard that? Yeah, okay. They are the future of the church, true. But that's not the only thing. They're not just the future of the, they're the present of the church. They are the church right now. They need to be serving the Lord right now. Amen. They have to be part of decision making. As much as the Lord entrusted them with the understanding and the maturity, the spiritual maturity, they have to be part of the church. They are, you are the church. You're not just the future of the church. There's an anecdote that I heard about someone young having told a young basketball player. He was usually on the sidelines, and he would just get in when the very good players would be very tired. And he was told by his coach, "You know what, young man, you have great potential." As great as that sounds, that's not a good thing. You know why? Because nobody talks about Kobe Bryant telling this guy, he's got great potential, right? You never heard that spoken about a good basketball player. A good basketball player does not have great potential because he has it. He's a good player. Only somebody who doesn't have it yet has great potential, right? So we are the church. We have to be involved in the church. We have to serve. We are called to serve. And one important thing for this is that we need to be serving God as an act of worship. Anything we do for the Lord is an act of worship. And I heard this spoken before, you know, not just prayer is an act of worship. Not just singing is an act of worship. Preaching can be an act of worship if it honors God. Everything, just greeting people at the door when they come in, can be an act of worship. And you know, one big problem in our church is that we expect to be brought in the presence of the Lord, in the house of the Lord. And that's why we try to have the better worship team, the better preachers, so they can pump us up, so they can get us to the level. Imagine what would happen if before you leave your house, you'd say this prayer, "Lord, I want to worship you today. I want to be in your presence today. I want to honor you and serve you." When you come to the house of the Lord with that attitude, what would happen then? How would worship be in this place? Amen. Wouldn't it be awesome? Amen. It's also a matter of attitude. We come to the Lord, we come to the house of the Lord with a bad attitude. Does attitude matter to God? I'll tell you it does, and I'll tell you why. I'll give you the example of Jonah. Okay, this guy is a good guy with a huge attitude, right? God sends Jonah. I'll tell you the story of Jonah in a way you probably have not heard it yet. So God goes to Jonah and tells Jonah, "You know what, Jonah? I want you to go to Nineveh. Go and preach." And he says, as we say in Texas, "No, sir." You know, he gets his things in line and he goes to Tarshish, right? And God has his ways. You know, with Jonah, he had some ways. With us, he may have other ways. But God always has his ways. And Jonah is brought back from Tarshish. And you know the story of the belly of the fish and the songs. And he repents there. He comes back, okay? And now God, you know what God says? The same message. "Jonah, you go to where? To Nineveh." And, you know, you'd think Jonah learned his lesson, and he did somehow, right? God says, "Go to Nineveh and preach." And based on his attitude, as you read from the Bible, Jonah says, "Fine." He doesn't say, "Lord, yes, I'm going." Jonah says, "Fine." He goes to Nineveh. All that preaching happens. And the reason I'm saying this is a matter of attitude, and most importantly of attitude. Because when Jonah finishes preaching, he goes what? He goes where? He goes up there in a place where he can see the city of Nineveh being destroyed. And God says, you know what? Why are you so angry? Why are you like that? You know, what if I care about these people? You know? And he says, whatever. You know? And then the story of the plant that grows in one day and provides shade for Jonah. And he learns, Jonah gets to learn a very important lesson. The lesson that attitude matters to God. He does not just want you to be present. He wants you with everything you have to be His. He wants your heart. He wants your mind. He wants your joy. That's why I don't like telling people to come to the house of the Lord. We're told many times, and I don't believe with all my heart, that coming to the house of the Lord scores you points with God in any way. If you think you're going to score points with God by coming to the church, you're wrong. But coming to the house of the Lord should be a must in the heart that loves God. Amen. Because when you love God with all your heart, all you're going to do is want to worship Him. Amen. All you're going to want to do is be present with those who want to worship Him and have fellowship. Amen. And may the Lord make us understand that we need to serve Him with all our hearts, with everything we have, with our attitudes, so that He is always honored in us. And the third thing is the future. Paul is telling Timothy, you entrust this to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What is the legacy you're preparing to leave to others? It's a little early, maybe you say, to talk about legacy. Why do you think that you have to think about what's going to happen when you're going to be gone? It is important because God wants you to care about what you leave behind. And how others will see you after you're no longer there. One scripture that's very dear to me is that when Jesus says, you are the light of the world. He says this to the apostles, right? You are the light of the world. And He keeps on going and saying, this world will see your good deeds. That they will see your good deeds. And do what? And glorify your Father who is in heaven. You know, they will see what you did. And they will glorify God because of it. And that is the right legacy that we're all called to live. And one thing that I'm looking for in our churches is those godly men and women who are able to teach the younger generation, all of us, through their examples, through what they did, through how people see them, through everything you see in them, to teach us how awesome it is to walk with God. We need these kind of people in our churches. We need to be these people ourselves. I was shocked to see. I was in a place. I went to school in a place where I didn't know many people. I looked for a little church for a short period of time. I looked for a little church where I could praise God. And I tried to do my own thing and being a good Christian, honoring God through my life, nothing else. And I was about to leave and somebody came to me and said, you know what? I want to thank the Lord for what you did for my life. And I was like, I didn't do anything. What did I do? I didn't do anything. And he said, I saw your walk with God. I didn't think it ever mattered. Nobody knew me in that place. But it did. What kind of legacy are we ready to leave behind? What kind of people are you going to be to others? I want to end with this illustration. I'm taking it from sports because it's a good one. You all probably have heard of the U.S. relay team at the Olympics. You know, they're world famous. They have won most gold medals than any other country than all the countries combined in the history of the Olympics. The U.S. relay team, men and women. And so at the 2004 Olympics, Marianne Jones, a multi-medaliate and also world champion and everything you want to say, and other three ladies were part of the U.S. relay team, and they were about to compete for the gold medal. But what happened is that at that time, the race started. And so Marianne Jones was running now, and she had the baton in her hand, and she was ready to pass it on. And when the baton was about to be passed, the first time, something was wrong, and it didn't go through. She tried to do that again, and it didn't happen. By the time the third time came, and she was able to pass the baton, it was too late. They were outside the door, the outside of the area where they should do that, and they were disqualified. 2004 Olympics, 2008 comes now. Both men and women team were disqualified before they even had any chance to run for any medals because both dropped the baton. You know, you think it's not a big deal. You know, I mean, running is important. That's what the race is for, right? To have the best time, to be the first at the finish line. As important as that to stay in the race is the passing of the baton. How are we going to do that? By looking at the past and being humble to those that God spoke to us through. By living in the present and be ready to serve now. Amen. And by thinking about what kind of legacy or what kind of witness we are to others around us. May the Lord bless us and help us to do so. Amen.